I'm going to get right into it. Today I'm going to do a little bit of a review on our personal growth. At the beginning of the year, from last year, actually before the end of the year, we spoke about several things. And one of the things that we focus on, obviously we focus on the whole year, and we're going to do that again this year, 2026. We said at the beginning of the year we're making 3 points of focus, and there are 3 O's. And the first O is we're going to focus on our God. That's the first one. And then we said the second O, we're going to focus on ourselves. And then we're going to focus on others. Those are the 3 O's, and they're in order. Okay? You cannot focus on others if you're not focusing on God. You cannot focus on yourself without focusing on your Father first. And that's the way He ordained it. That's the way He created it. And that's the way it has to be. All right? Now, when we looked at that, we looked at a number of things. Okay? And we're not going to go into all of that right now. But what should be springing from that is if you're focusing on God, then you are growing. If you're really focusing on Him. Because God desires to speak to His people. Okay? He desires to speak to His people. So, as you seek Him, the Bible says we will be found by Him. Okay? And then He will begin to speak to you. And He will speak to you about yourself. He's not going to speak to you immediately about others. He's going to deal with you first. So that you are properly prepared. You are receiving everything that you need to receive. To grow into that responsibility that God wants you to have, so that you can focus on others. So you've got to focus on God, and that's a continual thing. He feeds you, He directly inputs to you, He inputs you to you through your fellowship with your brothers and your sisters, through conversations, through song, through the word that's been given. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to sort of look at something that I've taught numerous times in this church and in other churches as well. About our growth. So we're just going to remind ourselves today, really, about growth. And one of the questions we're going to ask is growth a priority in my life? And I want us to answer that sincerely and honestly to yourself. Is growth a priority in my life? If growth is a priority, then you will be doing everything you know to do to ensure that you are growing in your life. If growth is a priority in your life, you will invest in growth in your life. And yes, that means listening, taking the time to listen to sermons, listen to teachings, buying books, studying God's Word, getting yourself a good study Bible. I've got about 6 or more. Get yourself a good study Bible to make sure that you're having all the resources around you so that you can have the good meat of an input into your life, if that's where you're at. And you'll see what I mean by that in a moment. But you're going to ask yourself these questions. Am I plugged into my way of doing things, or am I plugged into God's way of doing things? And God already says in His Word that my way is not like your way, neither your thoughts like my thoughts, because my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. So the ideal is for us as Christians to be plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He is our source. He is the one who's feeding us. And so we've got to make, on our priority list, invisible priority list, we've got to make seeking God and growth a priority. This teaching is about self-evaluation. It's not about self-condemnation. So I'm going to go through some things. And the last thing I would want you to do, because God doesn't want you to do that, I don't want you to do that, so therefore you shouldn't do that. God does not want you to move into an arena, into a place of self-condemnation. But what you do need to do is if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, showing you areas of your life where you can change, where you should change, where you need to develop, you really need to do that. Because many people, look, I've been in church a long time, and I've seen a lot, and I've heard a lot, okay, a long time. And one of the things that I hear Christians talk about, well, God's called me to do this, God's called me to be that. And they think it's automatic, and it's not. Even when God calls you into ministry, whatever ministry that may be, okay, God calls you to a point and a place now where you have to be submissive, to hear His word, to receive His instruction, and to grow. And that's important. We grow into our calling, and we grow into our responsibility. And God gives you a little test here, a little test there, to see if you are hearing His voice. And we spoke about that past 2 weeks, the importance of hearing God's voice. And Thursday, how to hear God's voice and the way in which God speaks, the 9 different ways in which He speaks. So as we go through this today, I want you to really be reflective, and I want you to be honest, because remember now, the person of God, the Holy Spirit, lives within you, and He's seeing everything anyway. You can't fake it to make it. So you might as well be real with God, because God is being real with you, and He's looking for real people. Can I get an amen? Amen. People that are serious and people that, you know, want to grow. So, question, how are you growing? How am I growing? How you grow is more important than mere growth. A boy will grow to be a man, but not necessarily a gentleman. A girl will grow to be a woman, but not necessarily a lady. And so how we grow is more important than just physical growth. Okay? Physical growth, and we know this, is a function of time. Okay, but intellectual growth is a function of learning, all right, and spiritual growth is a function of obedience. So please remember that, okay? Physical growth is a function of time, intellectual growth is a function of learning, spiritual growth is a function of obedience. And again, we looked at obedience, we've been talking about obedience, one of the keys to the manifestation of the presence of God, obedience. You can't be disobedient and expect God's presence to continually be with you, because God is looking for obedient hearts. All right? So how am I growing? Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says this, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Watch out for people that don't know God, that have come with something that looks favorable, looks palatable, looks better, looks nice. Be careful of those things, because they're sugar-coated. And underneath it is what the Bible calls now an error. So beware of that. But it goes on to say, but grow, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there we have instruction telling us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at that a little bit more. I've just given you a reason here that we should grow. The Bible says that we should grow. It wasn't an option. It's a command. We've got to grow. But I'm going to ask you the question anyway. Does God expect me to grow? And let me let the Word of God answer that for you. Yes, He does. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. I'm not going to talk about the cedars of Lebanon today. I've done that in a past teaching. And we looked at the cedars of Lebanon, how they're taller than all the other trees. And they're flourishing. They grow tall and they flourish. And their leaves are green like none other. But let's look at some more scriptures. Okay? Hosea chapter 14 and verse 7. Does God expect me to grow? Yes, He does. Those who dwell under His shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. And by the way, that's a good scent, the wine of Lebanon. I think today, I looked at this a couple of years ago, and it's still, I think Lebanon produces one of the world's best wine in the whole world. Okay, so here we have it from Scripture, and it's still the case today. Okay, where the wine of Lebanon, that's a good scent, a good taste. Okay, does God expect me to grow? Yes, He does. If Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. You shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves. And again, in the past, we looked at that. But let's look at the New Testament, because that's the Old Testament. Does God expect us to grow? Yes, He does. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. And that's Jesus Christ. So God does expect us to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, very important this, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You don't desire the sincere milk of the word. It's not good just becoming a Christian and just coming to church and that's it. No. No, you've got to desire the sincere milk of the word. Okay? And the word of God says here, that you may grow thereby. Because you've got to grow, as I said before, into the responsibility, into your calling, into whatever it is that God wants you to do. God don't use it, he never uses novices. You've got to grow. And so as we're reflecting, we're saying to ourselves now, and I've done this personally myself, okay? Before I teach it, I've done it. Have I grown? Am I growing? And if not, what's preventing me from growing? All right, you've grown in one area, but what's preventing you from growing in another area? And you've got to confront those things and deal with them. Let's look at another one, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow, how? In the grace, or the power of God, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here's a fundamental question. How can I know if I'm growing? How can I know if I am actually growing? Let's take it from last year until... Have I grown in 2025? Have I grown? Have I changed? Because where there's no change, there's no growth. Have I changed? Have I matured? Have I developed? Have I changed to take on whatever it is the Lord wants me to take on? Have I been obedient, like we've been saying, of the instructions that God has given me to do? Am I using my talents for the glory of God? Or am I sitting on them? What giftings have you got? Have you grown in those giftings? Are you using those giftings at all to grow? And only you can answer that with truth. Okay, so let's look at this then. I'm going to give you 7 different stages. As I said, nothing new. I've taught this before. So we're going to look at the 7 stages of growth. And I'm going to bring across some things to you to help you to check to see where you're at. And if you find yourself lacking, that's okay. Because God already knows that you're lacking, but he still loves you. Amen? Amen. So all you got to do is just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? What changes do I have to make? And then folks, put the disciplines in. Listen, nothing changes and nothing happens without discipline being put into your life. And sometimes we have to change what we've got as priority to make the things of the kingdom priority. Isn't that what Matthew 6:33 says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything will be added to you. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to pull ourselves away from, change our thinking, away from thinking that, well, it's all about activity, well, it's all about this, well, it's all about that. It's all about making Christ the focus of your life and doing everything that you can to please him. Then he comes and dwells with you. Then he comes and he says, now I can use you. Now he sees obedience and he says, yeah, I can take you from where you're at to where you need to be. And where we need to be is going to be coming up here on these screens. But you only start from where you're at. All right. So let's look at number one. Number one, first stage of growth. And this happens when you become a Christian. When you become a Christian, you're a baby. When a baby is born into this world, guess what? The baby, we don't give the baby a car keys. Neither do we say send the babies to the shop. No, why? Because they are not able to do that. Not only are they not able to do that, but it's dangerous and actually foolish to ask a baby to do something that they cannot do. You're endangering them and they're endangering themselves. So this is the baby stage. And the baby stage, you constantly need attention. And that's true when you become a Christian. You constantly need attention. You're a baby in Christ and that's okay and that's neat and that's right. And that's why when people get saved, they ought to come to church, ought to attend the studies and the prayer meetings so that they can grow. Okay, they constantly need attention. They constantly need care. That babies demand more than they can give. They're limited in their activity and they're limited in their productivity. As a matter of fact, is there any productivity at all in babies? Maybe not. We enjoy them, we love them, but they can't produce anything yet. Why? Because they're at a baby stage. And they need to grow. Now, if that baby is fed, you don't give a baby a brand new, you don't give a newborn baby meat, do you? Oh my God. Talk to me, church. Mothers, do you give your baby born and meat when they're born? No, you don't. You give them what? Milk. Milk. And that's where we all start off, the baby stage. Okay? All those characteristics there. Let's have a look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Now, listen, before we go to the Word, it's okay. I remind you again, when we all became Christians, we all went through this stage. But God help us, if 5 years down the road, you still need constant attention. You still need constant care. You still know nobody loves me, nobody rang me, nobody contacts me, nobody do, and all that kind of stuff. That you're a baby, you're a child, and you ought to grow from that stage. And we can't stay there. Because there is no anointing at stage 1 and stage 2 that I'm showing you. There's no anointing. Why? Because anointing is for service. I said this before. And a child, a baby cannot serve. So we've got to grow. Alright? Let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews 5:13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That's why you don't send babes out to preach. You don't do that. I've seen this happen years ago when I was living in Jamaica. A big tent crusade, some famous person got saved. And next thing they have that famous person going about testifying and preaching God's word. What do they know? They're just a baby that got saved. They don't know anything. And it didn't take too long before that person backslid. And we heard that he backslid and went right back into the world. Why? Too much was placed on him at too soon a stage, because he was still in this stage and hadn't grown into responsibility. He hadn't grown at all. So that was very unwise. And it ended up, sadly, in that person backsliding. So that's Hebrews 5 and verse 13. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. So we're hearing that we need milk. When we're a babe, at that babe stage, we need milk because the milk of the word has the nutrients that we need in order to grow at that level that we are at. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still babes. This was a mild rebuke to the Christians at Corinth. Because at the stage where they should be teaching others, they weren't there. They weren't maturing. They weren't growing. Because they remained at that level. And were not even able to receive solid food. At the stage where they should have been able to receive it. They weren't, because they weren't growing. They still needed the milk. Hebrews 5 verse 12. Another little rebuke, I think, from Paul. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Well, the writer of the Hebrews. A lot of people think it's Paul, but we're not sure who it is. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not food. So here are Christians, but they weren't growing. By now they should be teaching. By now they should be encouraging others. By now they should be functioning in ministry. They're not able to, but having to go back to the milk, to the basic elementary things of the word, because they weren't growing. Let's look at stage 2. That's the baby stage. But stage 2 now is the child's stage. Repeat after me. Child stage. Constantly needs reminding of things. Go to church. Read your Bible. Say your prayers. Constantly need reminding. Why? Because a child that we all know about a child, and we know about the terrible twos, those of us who are parents. Okay, we know about terrible truth. But a child stage is a stage where people are self-centered. Children are self-centered. The world is all about them. It's not about the world. The world is for them. And it's all about them and their world. I, me, and myself. A child stage, they have self-interest. And the self-interest is mostly play or doing what they want to do. And if they don't get what they want, what do? cry. That's right, Taylor. Or they can kick up a tantrum. I remember, I won't say who, one of my siblings, one of my brothers, when they didn't get the wrong way, they used to cry and jump up and down on the spot. Just jump up and down on the spot crying. And right now I'm looking at his face. Jeez. Sometimes it's just, we reflect and we look back at these things and I look at them and I say, wow, what a change. What a change. But there we go. When you're at this stage, that's what you do. It's all about you. Where they didn't ring me today? Where nobody phoned me and nobody checking on me? And it's pure that. Just all about you, all about you, all about you. Again, guess what? No anointing at this level. No anointing at this level. Child stage. You're not ready for service. Because you're all about I, me, and myself. And I preach this message on self-centeredness. I think it's one of the... All my messages are important. But I think this is one of the most important messages that I've ever preached. The message that I taught one time here on self-centeredness. And we're going to crucify that in Jesus' name. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's telling me right there that we've got to grow. We can't remain at that stage at all. Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Third stage. Fly through these. Son stage. Come on, say it with me, son's stage. That's another stage. The third stage of growth. At this level, you don't need constant reminding about the things that you know you need to do. Anointing starts here. Active, responsible service starts at the son's stage. And you're involved in your local church. You're not just a Sunday attender. We see you, then we don't see you. Or you're involved in at any level. You're involved in the ministry, you're involved in your local church. You want to be. It's intrinsic when you're growing. You've got to get involved. I didn't wait. We didn't wait. When we were growing up, we didn't wait for people to come and say this and come and tell us to do that. And even when I left Jamaica and came here and I went to my church at Lee, I didn't wait to see what needs to be done or wait for somebody to come and tell me to do something. You know what I did? I said, no, this is the house of God. So therefore, I found something to do. And after church, I went up and I picked up all the hymn books that were left in the seats on the floors. Instead of taking them back, Christians taking them back to where they got them from, they were handed to them when they came in. And instead of bringing them back on their way out, they decided to leave them on the floor, leave them on the seats, and leave the place messy. And, you know, I would just go around. Nobody told me to do it. Just go around, pick up the hymn books, pick up the sweetie paper. Sorry, I got into my patois. Sweetie paper and crisp paper and all those sort of things that we'd see. And I said, wow, this is the house of God. People treat the house of God like this. But I just did what I need know to do, what was right to do. I got myself involved without anybody telling me what to do. It's a few times now I became head steward of the church, you know. And that was you know, something else. But that was that. Let's look at some scriptures, okay? Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Okay, Abba, Father. Let's look at stage number four. Cut somebody short because I want to go through this in time. The fourth stage is men. Everybody say men. Okay, men stage. This is not men gender. Okay. It's men, the spirit, okay? Because we all know that we are men, spiritually speaking, okay? And at this level, you're able to cultivate favorable conditions for growth. You're able to lead yourself effectively. So you don't need to, you cultivate your own Bible studies, if you like. You recognize that reading the word is good, but not enough. So you cultivate. You don't wait for Sundays or wait for Thursdays to get into the Bible study or to hear God's word. You cultivate that pattern in your own life. You're able to lead yourself effectively. Your gifts that you have and the talents that you have are activated, not lying dormant. We carried out an exercise some years ago, and it was, come on, was it this church? And some years ago, we were sort of surprised to find out that there were people who could sing, people who could play musical instruments. This was years ago. And yet we didn't know. Why? Because their gifts weren't activated at all. They weren't using it. They were hiding it. Folks, don't hide your gifts. I wonder if we have any singers here that we don't know about. Angelic voices. Mom, why are you hitting Richard? Angelic voices. I wonder how many people here have gifts of instrumentality. They can play something. We don't know that yet. We haven't discovered that yet. Don't hide your gifts. Use them. They've been given to you by God, and you should use them for His kingdom. Okay? At this stage, people are outward looking. It's not about the inward anymore, but you begin to look outward. You're concerned for others. You're involved in ministry that, when I say ministry, I'm just talking about you. Now you pick up the phone and you send you ring. You send a text. You send an email. You're concerned about others. You're outward looking. You're not just looking inwardly. You're not introvertedly persuaded, but you are looking outward now and concerned about others. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it's true, isn't it? A child speaks differently from a man, from an adult. Speaks different. So even across your language and your communication, the way that you communicate, it changes. You grow. Number 5. Shepherds. Come on, everybody say shepherds. Able to lead others. Takes care of his own responsibilities. Able to feed his sheep. Spends time investing in growth. Just a few characteristics of the many that actually exist for shepherds. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. Ezekiel 34 verse 23 says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. John 10 and verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, the shepherd looks out for and cares for and feeds and protects and guides sheep. Because that's a shepherd's responsibility. Pastors are shepherds. Elders are shepherds. And our responsibility is to teach you the word, to protect you, to guide you. That's why it's important for us to be obedient to instruction that's received. Because sometimes the instruction that you get, you might not like it, but it's the instruction actually that is the right one for you. So you've got to have that right mindset and attitude to make sure that you're submissive and obedient to the word of God, to the counsel that's given to you from the shepherd that's watching over you. Because we have a responsibility, and we have a time when we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account for the things we say and for the things that we didn't say. All right, so is there any other level apart from shepherd level? That seems like the big one, like the ultimate one. Well, no, there's two more. The next one, stage 6, is minister's stage. Everybody say minister's stage. Minister stage. At this level, what do? They take care of his own and others not belonging to his fold. Effective ministering to own and to others. And there's a deeper level of anointing there. So you're not just responsible for where you're at, but now your responsibility is gone further. So now you're able to minister out. You're able to teach others that are not of your fold. And this all happens because, well, through growth. You don't just get there. You're not just placed there. You grow there. As I said before, you grow into responsibility. I mean, God sees you're faithful at one level. He takes you and He promotes you and gives you another jurisdiction or expands, if you like, your borders of authority. And that's what God does here. Okay? At this level, the minister stage. All right. So let's look at a scripture. I don't want to say too much more on this because there's a lot more I could say actually on that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 2. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Romans chapter 13 verse 6. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. And I like that word continually. Because it's not something that start and stop. You started and you continue until the season is ended. Pastor Trevor used to lecture at a couple of Bible colleges. Myself also, I used to lecture at South London Christian College. I just didn't start and stop. I continued until that season came to an end. What were we doing? Feeding God's people. They weren't of our fold, but we were feeding them, teaching them. When people come for counseling from outside of this church to us, what are we doing? We're counseling them. We're helping them. We're feeding them. We're guiding them. We're instructing them the way that we feel God wants us to instruct them. And what are we doing? We're ministering to them. They're not of our fold. They belong to another fold. But we're ministering to them as the opportunity brings itself forth. And sometimes every different case has its own longevity in terms of seasons. All right, sometimes it's short, sometimes it's long, but we continue until that season ends. Sometimes the counseling session is just once. We counsel people that we don't even know, never been to this church, you know, and we counsel them once and we prayed for them, send them on their way because they belong to a different flock. That was the season ending. Sometimes we talk to people continuously, okay, because it's just the way it is. We give them that counsel until they have come to, you know, a proper place, if you like, of where they should come to in their own life and walk with Jesus Christ. When we run our premarital course, we see it right through. We don't just start and stop, but we see it right through, continually ministering to people. And we run it for about 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the individuals and the time frame that they are available. We run that over that period of time. When you go on our courses, what do you do? We I'm going to use this, even though it's our flock, if you like, but we minister to you the Word of God. And we run those courses until it's finished, whatever course it is. We run it until it's finished. In the new year, we're going to be hopefully looking at, we are going to, not hopefully, we are going to be looking at reaching out to others in the community and elsewhere. And there are some teachings that I've got that I'm going to bring, and however the Holy Spirit leads, He leads in terms of us continually now taking ourselves and putting ourselves or placing ourselves, okay, at the availability of others. Because how many people know we need to reach people? We need to reach people, man. We need to reach the lost. We need to reach the unsaved. But our hearts need to be focused around that arena. And if it's not there, then it won't happen effectively. But hopefully by God's grace, we will get there. So let's look at number 7. Does anybody know what number 7 is? The 7th stage of growth. Here it is. Kingship. Come on, everybody say kingship. All right, that was you on low energy. Say louder. Kingship.
Kingship.
That's better. Kingship with a bit of energy. Complete rulership. Characteristics for this level, complete rulership. Dominion status. Mature in the word. Mature in relationship with Christ. You got to know Him. It's one thing knowing about Him, but it's another thing knowing Him. And both are important. Both are important. Mature in your relationship with Christ. There's some more. Let me give you some more. They are known by others and respected. At this level, perfect faith is present. What do I mean by perfect faith? Well, I did a teaching some time ago. Does anybody remember the three different levels of faith? Anybody remember the first one? It's a long time, so maybe you won't. Anybody?
Little faith.
Little faith, yeah. Claude, Pastor Joy. Richard, you're going to say that, ain't it? I saw it on your face, but you maybe. A little bit of a doubt there. Little faith. What is little faith? Little faith says, I know that He can, but I'm not sure that He will. Anybody remember the second stage? Is that Claude? Claude remembers it. Great faith. Great faith. What does great faith say? Great faith says, I know that He can and I know that He will. Yeah? Little faith, I know that He can, but I'm not sure that He will. Great faith, I know that He can and I know that He will. Well, what is perfect faith then? What does perfect faith say? Yeah, that's it. Already done. Did you get that, folks? Perfect faith says it's already done. Hey, your healing is already done. I got one amen. Your provision is already done. That promotion, promotion you're looking for at work, it's already done. Your business expansion, it's already done. No? Okay. Perfect faith at this level, okay, is kingship level. You're ruling. You're in dominionship. You understand yourself. You understand who you are. You understand your gifts. You understand your talents. You understand your environment. You understand everything about it. You understand your purpose. You understand why you're here. You understand God's word. You understand His will. You understand what you want to do. You are there at kingship stage. Okay? Wider dominion of authority than a shepherd. A shepherd has one flock. At this stage, you have more responsibilities outside of your local dominion. However that might manifest itself, okay? Responsibilities are also added at this stage. So God sees you faithful in the little, and so therefore He gives you more. If you're not faithful in the little, don't expect more. Stop and say, Lord, I repent. And I go back to handling or doing whatever you told me to do. Operating the way that you want me to operate in the little that you gave me. So that, Lord, the greater can be received in due time by you. And it's very important that we strive to get to that. Now, the kingship stage will look different for everybody. For pastors, it will be different. Pastors become bishops, if you like. Or apostles or whatever it is, apostles operate on this level as well, okay? But individuals can operate on this level because God can give you a talent, He can give you a gift, He can give you a calling, and then He expands that gift, expands that talent, expands that calling, all in line with His purpose for your life, so that your responsibilities become greater than what you have. But one thing you should be getting from this teaching today, if you've not already got it in your spirit, it is not enough just to go to church. It's not enough. Are you in agreement with me today?
Yeah.
It's not enough. God requires more, not me. You're not serving me, you're serving God. Right? You are the church, and Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And He went on to make this statement. The gates of hell, Hades, will not prevail against it. So you're in a victorious position already. Gates of hell will not prevail against it. All right? So, known by others and respected. Okay? Some characteristics. Level of perfect faith. Wider dominion of authority than a shepherd. Responsibilities added. Let's look at a few scriptures. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And by the way, don't be afraid. I mean, look, in God's eyes, you better understand this, you know. In God's eyes, you are kings. And when I say kings, I'm not talking gender. You are kings. You are rulers. As a matter of fact, just when you go home, read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. All right? And you'll see there God mentioned, okay, from the very beginning, you can see the intent or the purposes of God for man's life. Man, once again, not the gender, but the spirit. Okay? You see it there. When God called him, he gave him five different things in those verses. And one of them was dominion. He said, go rule, go dominate, go dominate the place, the world, that is. Okay? And that word dominion is the word radar, which means to subjugate, to rule over. And what does a king do? A king rules over. And so God's intent from the very beginning is that we, human spirits, should rule, live in kingship, dominion, and kingship state. Okay? So Revelation 1 verse 6 says, and has made us kings. So in God's eyes, it's already done. I hope you get that. He's seeing you in your future. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and forever. Revelation 5 verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. What do kings do? They reign on the earth. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 8. You have reigned. This is Paul talking to the same church that, as I said to you so many times, and we looked at a scripture earlier, the church weren't growing, Christians weren't growing. But thank God for change that happened, because for some there was change, and they were growing. And he said, you have reigned as kings without us. In other words, you didn't need us over you, telling you to do things, like a baby, like a child. You know, you didn't need us to remind you to do this, remind you to do that. You have grown and reigned as kings without us, and indeed I could wish you did reign, that we may also reign with you. So, what stage are you? Just quietly answer to yourself. Be honest, folks. I'm bringing this, like I said before, not to sort of, this is not about showing up anybody, but it's about growth and development. What stage are you? Where are you? And a lot will depend upon your input, what you are doing. A lot will depend on how obedient you actually are to the Word of God, the voice of God, the Spirit of God, the promptings of God. And that's why we looked last Thursday, because we've got to recognize that if God is speaking, sometimes it's an inward unction, like we said on Thursday. Sometimes it's an inner knowing. We've got to know that God is speaking, and we've got to recognize, because if we don't, we're going to miss it, and we're going to remain at that level, whatever level we are, not growing. God wants you to grow. Can I get an amen? Amen. Baby, child, sons, men, shepherd, ministers, kingship. So where are you? Where do you see yourself in these seven different levels? Just answer to yourself. Now, how long have you been there? How long have you been at that level? Because, yeah, praise God, yes, you're at shepherd level. But maybe you need to move on and grow some more, because God has already seen you in your future. And we've just looked at that verse. In kingship, he wants you to be ruling, having total dominion, radar, over everything that he has given you. Now, if we're going to change, if we're going to grow, change is a must. Okay? Change is a product of human effort sustained by divine help. And you've heard me say over the years, no change, no growth. Can you say that with me? Ready? No change, no growth. Say it again. No change, No growth. So at some point, somewhere, you're going to have to make change in your own heart if you want to grow with the Lord, if you want to be used by Him, if you want to really be captivated by God to become the effective person that God has called you to be. You've got to come to this conclusion that I must change. And maybe it's your priority list. Maybe it's your priority list that needs changing. And sometimes, you know, we're challenged sometimes in different ways. Years ago, I was challenged by the knowledge that Dr. Femi Lowell, who is a good friend of mine, and, you know, I've grown to respect over the years. He was a principal of South London Christian College. He's ministered here several times. And when I was teaching under the college that God asked him to set up, you know, I was impressed by his level of knowledge of the Word of God. And that motivated me. And I've told him this. That motivated me to because I looked at myself and I said, no. I know the Word, but I don't know the Word. I need to learn Scriptures. And I need to be able to carry Scriptures with me and know Scriptures and meditate on it. You know? And that motivated me to begin to learn. And I developed through my own time, my own disciplines. I developed, you know, a way in which I would learn a new scripture every single day. And then next day I would repeat that and another new one. Next day I would repeat the last two and another new one. And that's just the way I did it and committed myself to growth in that area. And the side effects of that, if I can call it a side effect, it's a direct effect, but you know, just by doing and putting in those disciplines, I saw where I could grow when I have grown. And I've got to know, not just know the Word to recall it, but the truths in that Word. So precious and so beautiful. Another challenge that I had, and I don't say this, and I want you to be very clear. I don't say this as a boast. It's not a boast. Neither am I encouraging people to do this. You've got to be driven by your own self. You know, I was listening to Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn said that he read through the Bible 4 times, I think he said, in the year. And I said, wow, 4 times in the year. And I just quietly set myself to do that. And I said to myself, this was going back a couple of years. And I failed. I didn't get to 4 times. But no big deal. Come on, say with me, no big deal. All right, because it's not a big deal. It's not about reading it through. But for me, I said to myself, no. If he can discipline himself to do that, okay, and he's a busy man, I can discipline myself to do that. Are you with me? So that's what I did. It's a personal thing. So that's what I did. And last year, I hit that target for last year, 2024. This year, I set myself two different targets. Oh, no, the target was for this year. And this year, I've hit the number 7. So I've read through the Bible 7 times. I've just got 4 books left to finish. I've started 4 of them left to finish. But it's no big deal. It's not, oh, look at me. I've read through the Bible 7 times. You can read and read and read and read and still no growth. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what I wanted to prove to myself that it can be done. Because back then it seemed like a difficult thing. And maybe some of you will be saying, well, that's a difficult thing. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Where there's a will, there's a way. And the point I'm bringing out here is that you can do whatever God tells you to do. As a matter of fact, I said to you this statement before. I can do what I could not do before when God tells me to do it. So be led by the Spirit of God. And don't be quick to write yourself off. Don't be quick to cancel that thing or to say, well, that's impossible. Well, no, I can't do that. Well, that's too hard. It's too hard in the flesh, but it's not too hard with God. This year, in the month of October, I read through the Bible, just in that 1 month. So as I said, I'm hitting almost, before the end of the year, I will hit reading through the Bible 7 times. And it's because I put the disciplines in. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you this morning, that you've got to put the disciplines in. If there's no discipline, there is no victory, there's no attainment. You've got to put it in. Because you can do it. Okay? You can do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So just make sure that Christ is at the center of whatever it is that you're doing. And even though I did that 7 times, you know, I stopped and I reflect and I held myself at certain portions of scripture where the Holy Spirit was leading me to just meditate on that, or even to study that part of the scripture that I've read so many times before. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit leads. You've got to follow His prompting. Now, I think this is a second to last screen, I think. We are overcomers. I think we looked at this on Thursday. All right? Now, thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph. Okay? And in triumph in Christ. And through us, I love this scripture, you know, diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. All right? There can be no fragrance if there is no knowledge. Because the fragrance you're releasing is the fragrance of His knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is information. If you haven't got the Word of God inside of you, no fragrance can be released. So you've got to have the fragrance inside of you. So that when you're going anywhere, you're taking the name of Jesus Christ with you. You're taking His Word with you. And when you speak, the fragrance of His knowledge can be released. Are you with me, church? In every place. That's very important. And I think this is the last scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And this is a challenge to you. Paul said to the Corinthian church, "Do you not know that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" Then he went on to say, "Run in such a way that you may obtain." Folks, wherever you are in your growth with the Lord, okay, run, operate in such a way that you will obtain, okay, the end result of what you are looking for in your own life. But make sure that at the center of everything is Christ. I saw this earlier. Let me read it. Okay, something that was printed out some time ago. "For I will set my eyes on them for good and will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up." Jeremiah 24 and verse 6. And that's God speaking about you, His people. He wants to build you. He wants to plant you. He has planted you. But He wants to plant you and He wants you to grow. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to develop. Because there's greater things yet that God wants to release in your life. And it's going to depend upon your cooperation and your growth with Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.